Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Psalms 56. We'll read the whole chapter. We're going to look at one verse and one phrase that caught my attention. Psalms 56, starting in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His word. In God have I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now, this is written to the chief musicians. It was written by David when David, the Philistines took him at Gath. The Philistines took him at Gath. And he makes this comment about, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And he says, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So he repeats this phrase here in this psalm. This David penned this terrible situation in which he was taken by his enemies, the Philistines, at Gath. And this, you could read this in 1 Samuel 21. Basically, what happened is he fled King Saul. He was fleeing for his life, and he ended up in Gath under King Achish. And once they realized who it was, they said, "Is this not King David who has slain his 10,000. Then the mockings commenced. They began to mock him. So David went from one situation, one bad situation, into a worse situation. But though the outside is all fear and uncertainty, yet the inward, in his inward man, he petitions his God. And he says this astonishing phrase. Indeed, all of God's children, every one of his elect, one by one, all who have tasted that the Lord is true, right, and gracious, can say with David in verse 9, the last phrase, this I know, for God is for me. I want us to muse, I want us to dwell upon such a wonderful truth and unerring comfort that's found in this phrase. Now, if you want to turn with me, we're going to be turning to quite a few scriptures. I'm going to read them. Because in these phrases, it says, God is for us. So I looked up a concordance and went through everywhere that this phrase was used. God is for us. Specifically, if you're a believer, God is for you, for me. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. That refuge, we are covered by blood. It implies full protection. The refuge. God is a refuge for us. So this is what we're looking at this morning out of Psalms 59 and verse 6. I know this. This I know. God is for me, or God is for us. And so we're going to see how is it said in this book that God is for His dear people. First passage is found, chapter 62 of Psalms, verse 8. Let's look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 12. Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Our Lord God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has ordained true peace. That's what He's done for us. This, David says, this I know. In the middle of being mocked by King Achish, when the Philistines had got a hold of him and taken him there and began mocking him, he's fleeing for his life. He goes from one into the frying pan, the fire, etc., however you phrase that. And he says, this I know. This I know. God is for me. This is how He's for. God is ordained peace for us. Christ is said to be our true peace. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 68 and 69. Luke chapter 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us. This He knew. This man knew. Zacharias. This He knew. God hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. This word horn is simply rendered power, spearhead. Our Savior is a horn indeed for His people. He is full of power, the power that He reveals Himself unto us at a certain time, at a certain point, in a certain place in our own history, all according to the good pleasure of His will, because all power belongs to Him. So He has raised a horn of salvation, not for everybody, for us. That's what we're looking at. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. This is kind of the conclusion, if you want to look at it this way. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Verse 34. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, Christ is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. For us. What do we need to say more? What can we say to these things? If God be for us. And this David knew in the middle of trying times, in the middle of hardship, in the middle of, he perhaps was looking at death square in the face. This I know, God is for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed, slain, killed for us. For us. Total humiliation on the part of our Redeemer for us, for His people. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made sin for us legally, truly, and as our substitute. God made Christ to be sin, to be a sacrifice, to be a refuge, to be for us and not against us. All these things David knew. As Job, you know, Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. This I know. God, whether it looks like it on the outside, whether it looks like economically, whether it looks like financially, whether it looks like on and on and on, whether it looks like our neighbors again, all these things, it's this we know. The believer has this assurance out of God's Word. If you have tasted that He is gracious, if you know Him, if He's shown you what you are, what you are and you are not, you cannot do, you cannot come to Him, that you will have life. He's shown us that He is for us in all this capacity, every single one of them. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Grace, verse 3, Galatians 1, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave Himself voluntarily, and He despised the shame. He detested the shame, but He had a people that He was going to redeem. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is all part of God's eternal covenantal plan of salvation, of God being for His people, that He was going to have to send His beloved Son to redeem these from the curse of the law, He Himself being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed. Cursed. God was going to curse His own Son for us. What does that mean? I don't know everything. I don't know the depth of what it means, but I know it must say something about the love of Christ, the love of God, and the love of the Holy Spirit for His people. It must say something about the awful holiness and righteousness and purity of our God. It must say a lot about our sin and our corruptions and our degradations and our vileness, our leprosy, all these different things that we are. But I also know it says, hath redeemed. It's all past tense. It's all been done for us. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. given freely, true love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us. He offered himself up willingly, voluntarily. As he said, nobody takes my life. I give it. I lay it down. I'm able to take it back up. That's how sovereign our God is. And if he's sovereign in his substitutionary accomplishment, he's sovereign in his reconciliatory work for us. It's got to be. He can't go come to earth, voluntarily be humiliated, undergo what he went, and not successfully bring home every elect son and daughter throughout all the ages. He can't stop in the middle of his work. He's successful. He's completely successful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the person, the agency of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Christ died for us because the psalmist knew, in no uncertain terms, that God was for him. He died, he was put to death for us, for his people. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He did all this. He gave himself. There's that word gave again. Free, grace indeed. He did such things. Not that it may be up to us. He might, that word might does not indicate lack of ability, that he would redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. He has purified. He sanctified. He set us apart, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Good works, as James tells us, goes with the believer like faith goes with the believer. You can't separate them. We do these things because of what he's done for us. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 19, the writer says, which hope in Hebrews 6 we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which endureth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us, enter. Even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is our forerunner in such that he is for us. In other words, he's the first begotten from the dead. He's the first begotten of every creature. He has entered in, and we looked at this when we were in Hebrews. He entered into the Holy of Holies. He made access possible. The right of access is now, we have it. But he went first. He's not going to ask of us. Basically, he's not, we say a good boss is somebody who doesn't ask of an employer that which he wouldn't do himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything, but we couldn't do anything. That's the beauty. We couldn't do a single thing. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of bulls or goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This I know. God is for us. Why? Because he wouldn't accept blood of goats and calves. So he thereby sent his only begotten Son, suffered, bled, and died, all voluntarily, once into the holy place, accomplishing our eternal redemption. salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification. He did it all. 9 in verse 24, up a few. For Christ is not entered into the holy place, made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Not only has he accomplished salvation here on earth, but once that was done, he still is working on our behalf because he's for us, not against us. He's in the presence of God right now for us, interceding for us. Prayers, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We groan and we utter, but the Holy Spirit takes these things. It's all washed by the blood of Christ and made acceptable to the Father. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Consecrated. We looked at that, made new. He made that this way. He made it new for us. Consecrated for us. Consecrated for us. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20 and 21. For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted you for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Christ also suffered for us. So we are called to suffer for him. Those who are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Philippians says. We're called to do that. All because Christ is for us and not against us. And lastly, in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. We're aware, we're cognizant of the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life, willingly laid it down. Such total and amazing mercy, love, and grace for worms like us. He laid down his life for us. Now, who can lay a finger or harm or threaten any of God's children unless he has ordained it and allows it? And yet, with this permission, will come grace in exact time of need, because he's for us. He's for us. When I cry unto thee, says Psalm, back in Psalm 56, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. This I know, for God is for us. It is impossible for any human speech to express the full meaning of this delightful phrase, God is for me. He was for us before the worlds were made. He was for us, or he would not have given his well-beloved Son. He was for us when he smote the only begotten and laid the full weight of his wrath upon him. He was for us, though he was against him. He was for us when we were ruined in the fall. He loved us notwithstanding all. He was for us when we were rebels against him, with a high hand were bidding him defiance. He was for us or he would not have brought us humbly to seek his face. He has been for us in many struggles. We have been summoned to encounter hosts of dangers. We have been assailed by temptations from without and from within. How could we have remained unharmed to this very hour if he had not been for us? He is for us with all the infinity of his being, with all the omnipotence of his love, and with all the infallibility of his wisdom. Arrayed in all his divine attributes, he is for us, eternally and immutably for us. For us, when ye blue skies shall be rolled up like a worn out vesture. For us, throughout all eternity. And because he is for us, the voice of prayer will always ensure his help. David said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies be turned back." This is no uncertain hope, but a well-grounded assurance, because he also says, "This I know. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up for the answer, assured that it will come and that my enemies shall be defeated." Why, and why? For God is for me. O believer, how happy art thou with the King of Kings on your side. How safe with such a protector. How sure thy cause pleaded by such an advocate. If God be for thee, who can be against thee? And I close with that passage in Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He, God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let us ask for much faith to be settled, unmovable in his grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bruce, would you close us, please?